Hi everybody, welcome to Finding Burundi. I am Alan Ndayishimiye. Yes, I have changed the name of the show from The Alan Show to Finding Burundi. Somebody asked me the other day, why Finding Burundi? And I said, you know, from the beginning, what I've been trying to do with this show is, one, this is for me and other like-minded people who like Burundi and want to know more about Burundi. And if you look at the guests that I've had since the beginning, these are people that I respect. These are people that have ideas about Burundi that are different from mine or similar to mine. These are people that know more about Burundi than I do. And every single conversation that I've had with them, I've learned something new about Burundi. So literally, this show for me is a quest to know Burundi better, to understand its past, to figure out what's going on now, and to figure out the future with everybody that I talk to, with the listeners that give me feedback. So that's why Finding Burundi for me felt like it was fitting for the title of this show. So I'm really excited for today's show. My guest is Annie Iranhunda. She is the president and co-founder of Reunion 257, a US-based organization, and hope to hear more about it in our conversation. Annie, welcome to the show. For people who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Annie Iranhunda. I live in the United States. I am currently in school for organizational leadership. I am co-founder and president of a Burundian youth organization here in the U.S. called Reunion 257. And I love working with youth.
That's awesome. And Reunion 257 is, you, as you mentioned, you're the president and founder. Can you tell me about how that organization came about and what were the purposes of starting that organization?
Yeah, so I am president and co-founder. There are about six other co-founders with me. So Reunion 257 began with a group of Burundian youth in the U.S. diaspora who shared the same vision of seeing Burundians together. We lacked a platform where we could connect and reconnect with people that live far away from us. It was during Burundi's independence in 2015 that we said, hey, you know, let's do something that's for Burundian youth by Burundian youth. Why can't we do... you know, why can't we create something of our own? And so we did. At our first event in 2015, we had a surprising number of attendees. We had a barbecue, which featured Burundi Drummers of Atlanta. We had a Karibu night and a roundtable discussion where we discussed problems facing Burundian youth in our community.
Right. So what has, you mentioned that you started in 2015. I've been following you guys for a while, and I'm always impressed that year after year, your initiative continues to grow and thrive. What are some of the things that you've learned about Burundi in the diaspora since you co-founded Reunion 257?
Yeah, so I guess some challenges, things that I've learned. Bringing Burundians is not easy.
Right.
That is number one. Number two, we all have different issues related to ethnicity, differences in our backgrounds. Some people came to the U.S. or in the diaspora as refugees. Some came voluntarily. And then third, another thing that I've learned is that general support in the Burundian community is somewhat lacking when you're trying to bring them together.
Right.
So those are small things, but they're actually like big things when you think about it.
Right. I mean, but watching you from outside, it appears like Reunion 257 has managed to overcome some of those problems. What would you say is your secret, if you will, or what are some of the strategies that you've used to overcome some of the challenges that, you know, organizing Burundian diaspora
entails. I mean, I know from experience that I've started a bunch of initiatives before, and like you were saying before, there's a whole bunch of barriers that can inhibit us Burundians from coming together and building something big. But it appears like you guys, year after year, you've managed to sustain the organization. So what are some of the strategies that you've used to overcome those challenges?
Back up just to show you how much we have grown. At our first event, we had about 250 guests come from all over the U.S. And it was simply like Facebook, social media, you know, this is when, it was just an idea. You know, it was just like a vision. Can we do it? Can we do it? And then we did it. And the amount of people that turned up was really surprising.
Right.
At our most recent event, which was our fourth year in Louisville, Kentucky, we worked hand in hand with an organization, another youth organization called Tuvugane. Mm-hmm. And at this event, we had about 400 attendees, in which 98% of them were youth. And so our target is youth.
Right.
Our target is youth because we want to see Burundian youth in the U.S. flourish. We want to see them be able to get, you know, scholarships and do and graduate college, and but not forget who they are and not forget where they come from.
Right.
And so for us, you know, sometimes people may say, oh, they're just having fun. No, we're not. You know, yes, we're having fun. That's what youth like to do. You know, we like to have fun. But
right.
we while we're having fun, them being able to drive 10 hours 15 hours to come to where Reunion 257 is, that means that something else is happening at Reunion 257 that's not happening anywhere else. And so we take pride in our youth, and we promote their success. We promote youth initiatives or youth who are doing great things in the community, like drawers or singers and drummers and dancers and comedy. We target our youth, and I think that's what has been allowing us to see so much success, is that we go inside the youth and we talk to them, we see what they want. They like soccer. Great. We need to include that, you know?
Right.
And how can we get more than six teams to come? Because per team, it's like 30 people. And
right.
so if you're getting 30 people in eight teams, that's a lot of people. And so, seeing what youth are involved in and seeing how we can each year make it different and cater it to that community. In Kentucky, we realized there's a lot of youth who have fashion, who do fashion. So we had a mini fashion show.
Right.
And those are the small things that we include just so we can bring more youth to come. We don't have big artists or anything. Not that, you know, we're against it, but we are more into promoting the beauty that's in the community already.
Right. So Reunion 257 happens every summer, and it happens in different cities every year. How do you go about selecting the city? I noticed when you were talking that you mentioned that you try to focus on what the Burundian youth in that city is doing. Are you specifically targeting cities that have a Burundian community there?
No. So we target cities that have a big Burundian community. And so even cities like Atlanta, there's no quote unquote like the Atlanta Burundian Community Association. You know, there's no organizations, but there's a large Burundian community. And so with each city, with each state, there's different issues. Like we all have our own problems in our own respective host states. And so when we don't actually know the problems until we get there, we don't go looking for the problems, but we find the problems once we start communicating with the people on the ground and in that state.
And so how do you ensure sustainability? I mean, you've been doing this for the past three summers. And I think I saw on Facebook that you are now looking for your next host city. What keeps you going?
The youth. The youth are hungry for it. When we started, you know, we thought that we were just 20 of us who wanted to connect. No, right. It's a lot more than that.
Right.
It's a whole lot more than that. And so they, like, I've gotten messages even after Kentucky. They were right. like, Annie, we need to have a women's soccer team play next year, you know?
That is amazing.
They're sending me and the rest of the committee ideas on what we could do to make it better or to make it different this year. Because that's our goal. Our goal is to always have something different happening, right. something new, so we're always fresh. And it helps us when we go to different states, because not only are our followers following us from different states, when they're following us, they get to meet other Burundians, which create a bigger network.
That is fantastic. For me, I've been involved with a few different initiatives that are Burundi related for a while as well, and which is why for me I take an interest in your organization, and I think the approach that you take is really great. But one of the things that I found getting involved in these organizations or in these clubs is that people want to do something here in their communities, but they also want to make sure that whatever that they're doing benefits Burundi in some way, shape, or form. Is that something that Reunion 257 does?
Working in Burundi,
right, or supporting other organizations in Burundi, or doing some work in Burundi in one way or another.
Yeah, so the way we support work in Burundi, our platform has the roundtable discussion, and in that roundtable discussion is where we discuss initiatives by Burundians in our community or who've signed up to showcase their initiatives and what they're doing for the community here in the U.S. or the community in Burundi. Not really community, the country. Our right. Burundians in Burundi. And so, for examples, we have initiatives like Backpack Payback.
That's awesome.
Yeah, where they fill up backpacks and send to Burundi for students. There's another initiative that's helping pay for kids' hospital bills in Burundi.
Wow,
there's
that's
another
amazing.
One. Yeah, there's another one called Computer Literacy for Peace and Development, in which they have workshops every semester and have a graduating class. And these initiatives are all started by Burundian youth in the U.S. And so Bringing 257 is that platform where they can let the community know about what they're doing. And sometimes we have people who want to help Burundi, but don't know how. And people right. who have the money, but they don't want to do the work. You know, they're like, oh, I want to give the money, but I want to make sure it goes to, you know, a trusted organization or somebody who I know is actually doing the work on the ground.
Right.
Reunion 257 gives that platform to those organizations and for people to get involved and help that organization or those different initiatives succeed. At our last event, we had about 9 organizations showcase what they're doing. And so we had organizations in the U.S. who were working primarily in their communities or in their cities. And then we had organizations like Buyback Payback, and then Computer Literacy for Peace and Development, who work directly in Burundi. And helping Burundians back home.
That is fantastic. So basically, if someone has an idea, but they don't know where to start or they don't have a team, if they come to Reunion 257, they can meet other like-minded people and they can start something or support something that already exists.
Exactly. You know,
that is awesome.
There's no point of everybody having a computer organization when we can support one. I mean, it's great, but, you know, there's more power in a lot of people. Than just one person. So yeah.
That's amazing. Now, you mentioned earlier the Burundian Drummers of Atlanta. I don't know if that's their official name.
Yeah. We're called the Burundi Drummers of Atlanta. Yes.
Yes. And one of the biggest things that happened last summer was obviously Black Panther, and you guys were in the movie. That was obviously for someone, you know, that movie was a cultural moment in North America and across the world. But also to have Burundians in the movie was something big for Burundians. How did that come about?
Wow. So the Burundi Drummers of Atlanta, we're comprised of women and men. And right. we have been drumming and promoting Burundi's culture for about 10 years in the USA. Wow. We were given the opportunity to audition for the film Black Panther. In the past, we have performed for President Jimmy Carter, CARE, the Peace Corps, Ambassador Andrew Young, wow. and a whole lot of, you know, other events and showcases and organizations. So when the audition happened in November, we were selected for the role as the King's Drummers. We didn't receive the official contract, though, until about January the next year. We filmed for about 3 weeks nonstop wow. from 6 a.m. to about 7 p.m. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was hard work. I really appreciate people in film now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you guys went and auditioned and then they hired you. Did you work with someone else about how you would do it? Or did you have any ideas about the songs that you might want to perform? Or how did that work out?
Yeah, so at our audition, we were authentic and very different from everybody else who were there.
Right.
But we did, even though we were different, we did put our soul into that performance because we wanted to make sure it was something that was fit for a king. And so at the audition, we were auditioning. They asked us to stop in the middle. Can you imagine, like, and they said, stop.
We're like, wow, did you at that time think maybe this is it, we didn't make it?
Yes, I was like, they're going to send us home. No, but they said, stop. And she was smiling. And then she said, hold on, I'll be right back. And she went right. to get an executive director. And so when she brought the executive director down, they asked us to perform over, and then they recorded us. And so right. when they did that, they're like, okay, thank you. And I was like, that's it? They were like, yeah, you know, just continue through the process. They're like, okay. And so we continued through the process, and that was November. We didn't hear back anything for 3 months. And then they gave me a call, and they were asking, hey, we were looking to hire the Burundi Drummers of Atlanta. We need about 4 drummers, and these is who we're choosing. And I said, no, you know, there's no way you can have Burundi drums and just have 4 drums. That makes no right. sense.
I said, you need to have the whole crew.
Yes, I said, we need at least 12. I said, but right. minimum 6. I said, we can right. work with 6. And then they said, well, that's not going to work. Da, da, da. I said, well, I'm sorry. It's, you know, like that's, I personally, when they called me, I wouldn't allow for Burundi to be represented in a bad image.
Of course, so, yes.
And so they came, you know, back and forth, and then they finally agreed, and then they picked, they handpicked each person to be in that film.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Now, so switching gears a little bit, I follow you on Twitter, and I have to say, from your tweets, it looks like you had a fantastic summer in Burundi. Was this your first time back since you moved to the States?
My first time back in Burundi was in 2006. And okay. So, yeah.
And so was this your first time since 2006, or have you been going throughout the years?
Oh, yeah. So I was there in 2006. I was there in 2011. I was there in 2013. I was there in 2017. And then most recently, this past summer.
Right. So in my previous episode, I spoke about my experience visiting Burundi. And I mean, it was my first time in about 10 years. And so there was a lot of excitement for me, but also my eyes were out for things that, you know, I was looking out for in terms of how things are in Burundi. I'm wondering for you if you've noticed any differences from the last time that you went. And now, and what would you say those differences are?
Yeah, so my very first trip to Burundi, when I was 15, it was an eye-opener. I didn't right. really know much, you know, about Burundi. It right. was some sort of like an introduction. And so, yes, I was born there, but my mind somehow blocked my childhood where I couldn't remember anything. And so since that first trip and comparing it to the trip now, I've noticed that infrastructure has improved. I mean, we have lights everywhere, most places now, you know?
Right.
Like, lights were a big issue. You know, I'm a tarachite, you need a candle, you need a flashlight. And this is, I'm like, what? They still have this? You know, this was me at 16, but now, you know, there is just no issues with lights. You know, right. The issues with gas. You know, gas being able to go from point A to point B, they've somewhat improved.
Right.
We have, you know, some more wiggle room to be able to improve a little bit. But infrastructure is something that I see has definitely improved in Burundi.
Right. Now, speaking of Burundi, this is a section I like to call Three Things, where I ask people to tell me three things they like about something. What are the three things you look forward to every time you go to Burundi?
Three things I look forward to, meeting my family, connecting with them, and then connecting with Burundians, connecting with other young people who are interested in the same thing. For example, this past summer, I got a chance to connect with Burundi Hub, and I spoke to the contestants for the 2018 Miss Burundi Tech competition. I met other great people, youth doing great things like Akeza.net, Ingo Magazine. You know, I even got a chance to go visit Appy. And then the third one, each time I go to Burundi, I learn. So researching, learning more about my culture, who we are, how we interact with each other, and what are the different things that I can do more for my country. So,
is there anything that stands out from this particular trip that you took this summer that maybe is new that you didn't learn from your previous trips?
This past summer, well, I got engaged.
Oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I learned a lot about our culture through that whole experience.
Right. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so I learned a whole lot.
I am sure.
I'm actually really happy we did that celebration back home. Just because when we do celebration like that in the diaspora, they kind of don't take on the same meaning. Like it's a watered down version of the real version, you know? And so doing it in Burundi, I hope that encourages other Burundians in the diaspora to go back home and do the, you know, gukwa, like do it at home, gustaba, do all of those back home because that's tradition.
Right. And so, I'm sure it was a much richer experience having it done in Burundi than if it were to happen in the States.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Awesome. That's awesome. Now, you are the president of Reunion 257. Now, let's say you were to be president of Burundi in a year in the future. What are the three things that you'd start with?
Wow. You know, I don't know. It depends on, it depends. So right now I want to focus on our communities. In the future, who knows? I might be the president or you might be the president and I'm interviewing you. I'm not interested in politics at the moment, though.
I know. I'm saying, if hypothetically, I mean, you interact with a lot of Burundians here through Reunion 257 and all the things that you're involved in. You go to Burundi quite frequently, and you saw what the needs are on the ground. So hypothetically, if you were to be president or minister, or if you could change something about Burundi, what is it that you'd start with?
Jobs, job creation.
Right.
I think being able to teach Burundian youth that jobs are you know, the jobs are in your brain. You know, we don't have to wait for somebody else to create it for us. We have it already. We just need to create a system that kind of that allows us to make an income. And so I think job creation and poverty is two main things that I would like to focus on.
That's amazing. Well, with that, I'd like to end it there. Thank you very much, Annie Irankunda, for taking the time to speak with me. You are my very first guest on Finding Burundi, and I'm sure my audience will enjoy this podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for inviting me. It's a privilege to be working with other Burundians in the diaspora, and so I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone, that is it for today's show. Thank you, Anira Nkunda, for being my very first guest on Finding Burundi. If you're interested in learning more about Reunion 257, you can check them out at reunion257.org. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at reunion257. If you're in the US, I recommend checking them out. They're a fantastic group to be part of. And thank you again for listening to Finding Burundi. Please share the podcast with your family and friends. We are now on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find your podcast. So I hope to talk to you guys soon.
Oh no, no, so chance, so chance.